Well, Bill spoke here about 2.5 years ago. I'm very excited to have him back. Would you welcome Bill Hoag with me?
Thank you. Well, what a privilege it is to share God's word this morning. I'm just in awe of how he orchestrates all these things. And if we get a chance to sit back and really reflect on it, it's just amazing to me. So I want to just open us in prayer, get right and get my spirit right, and then I want to share some encouragement with you. So just pray with me. Father, we just thank you that you loved us and that you've rescued us from our sin and the direction that we go that would be away from you, Lord. Your mercy and your grace is just abounds, and we're just so blessed, Lord, that you would be with us this morning and that you would hear our prayers, and that, Lord, that you, creator of all these things that we see, would love us and would want to have a personal relationship with us. So, Lord, we just pray for this time together, and we pray, Lord, that it honors you and that your name would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. So I'm a bit of a cheerleader, encourager person, as my family would tell you. I'm on the positive side, and I'm a big picture person, so when the sun is out, I'm happy, and I don't necessarily in love with all the details. And my wife is a concrete sequential, if you know that, if you've gone through any of that. She likes the details, so we offset each other very nicely. But so I'm, hey, let's go, let's invite people over, and she's thinking, what are we having for dinner? And I think it's important for us as believers to always look at the big picture. We know the end of the story, right? He wins. All the crap that's going on in our world right now, all the sin, there's nothing new, right? Everything in the scriptures points to a broken world, a world that says separated from God, and that is in chaos. And then us, those of us who've claimed Christ, we've received something that you can't explain, and that's God's peace, and it's through his Holy Spirit. So when we come to Jesus, and that's a scary thing for some people, that because they're like, wait a second, that's not how I grew up, that's not my religion. But it's as simple as this. Jesus Christ, he died on the cross, he rose again, he wants to have a relationship with us. And when we enter into that relationship, we get his peace. We get him. And so two really encouraging things to think about the big picture. And I'm a Facebook person only because I think it's an opportunity to reach thousands of people on Facebook. I try to stay away from the political arguments, but sometimes I get sucked in a little bit. I'm a conservative person. I'm pro-life, and there's just things that break my heart every day that I probably shouldn't engage in. But I've got a lot of friends who love Jesus on Facebook, and one of them is a young man who he was with YWAM, and he posted something yesterday about an ISIS captain that came to Christ through a dream. Name is Muhammad. Imagine that, right? And God revealed himself to this person through a dream, and he's gone from death to life in Christ. And he knows he's going to die. He knows he's going to. One of his Islamist peers will likely take his life. But he knows what he saw in that dream, and he believes in Jesus Christ. And that's a big thing. The other thing that I find really encouraging, again, we hear a lot of things about, Christianity in America is dying and blah, 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 blah. And a Harvard study just came out a couple weeks ago that said, actually, the church is growing. Now, the denominations are somewhat diminishing because the denominations are somewhat trying to find their identity. But the Bible-believing churches, those churches who say, we believe the word of God to be true and inerrant. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and useful, right? Those churches are filling up with people. Amen. Well, what's the mystery there? Well, mystery there is those churches have committed themselves to God's truth, and he's bringing his flock to himself. So those people, whether you're Mr. Dynamic like Eric and full of music and he's got all these talents, people are going to come to hear the word of God. And the church is going to get rebuilt on this, not on, hey, everybody's welcome, or hey, whatever it is that if somebody comes up here, an invited guest comes to your church and tries to tickle your ears with what you want to hear, throw them out the door. But open the door for me if I start getting off the script. If I don't preach from the word of God, and by the way, I'm not a preacher, but if that's who you hear, kick them out. Because the word is why we're here. And the word is the healer. Everything that he did in this book is true. Now, it's up to us to go and discover it. So, Eric introduced me. I have Lac Parle in my county, and just it's such a testimony to everything that in my life. But I wanted to share, I'm not a theologian. I'm not a pastor. But what I am is a husband, a father, a grandfather. Yeah. Cue the picture. So this is my grandson, Grayson, and he's an absolute stud. You can't see the arms, but he's just fat. Like, just fat, like how babies are supposed to be. It's just so awesome. And he's just like his mother. My oldest daughter, Taylor, was just the happiest little baby when she was, and she was just fat like he is. And I just love him, and it's such a blessing. So 2.5 years ago when we were here, we were talking about a wedding. That was coming up in 16, and Taylor and Joe got married, and now they have a baby, and it's awesome. So second daughter, Haley, graduated from the University of Minnesota last year, and she's working. Her boyfriend is playing professional hockey in Norway. Apparently they have their own New Year's, but we don't know about that. Tommy is at Grand Canyon in Phoenix going to school, and my baby girl is 13. And I'm also a golf coach, and I coach the girls' golf team at Southwest Christian High School in Chaska. And what a cool thing this year, Kendall, my little seventh grader, who's 5'1", 80 pounds, is going to play varsity golf for me this spring. And so it's going to bring the family into my program. So it's pretty, coaching is a ministry, and my experience with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I love Billy Graham. I listen to like 4 Billy Graham sermons on my satellite radio. I get Billy Graham sermons. Oh my gosh. Awesome. Anyways, Billy Graham said, a coach will influence more people in a year than most people will in a lifetime. So your teachers and your coaches, pray for them because they are influencing your kids. Parents, find those teachers and coaches and uplift them with prayer because they're making a huge influence. I'm a grandfather, I'm a friend, I hope, but the most important thing is I'm a follower of Jesus. And all of these cool things that have happened in my life, I kind of go back to the sermon of when God rescued me. I grew up in a family of we were denominational Christians. We went. My dad sang off key. And we never talked about Jesus. And the family blew up in front of me. I was the youngest of 6. I had a brother who died, who drowned at my grandma's cabin before I was born. So imagine you have 4 boys under 7 and an infant daughter, and one of your children falls into the lake and drowns in a couple feet of water. I was born 3 years later, and I didn't really know, right? You're just a kid, so you don't know all this stuff. But imagine I was kind of like the golden child. You remember that movie where the little boys, the little glow around him? And I think my mom, especially, because she had to be institutionalized for like 6 months because of it. My dad lost all his hair. There was a lot of trauma that happened with that event. And then here I come. My dad used to call me Endgate Willie because I was the end of the family. But I believe that as I look back at my life, that God literally grabbed me by the neck and took me a different direction. Before I knew Jesus Christ was, I went a different way. I saw the chaos. I saw police cars in the driveway. I saw brothers rebelling against their parents. I saw my oldest brother got married in high school, which, I mean, God had a plan for that too. All four of his kids are saved, love Jesus. He's still, that's a whole other story. But I feel like God rescued me. And he took me on a path. He got me to meet a young lady, Darcy, who fell in love with Jesus at 5 years old, looking out the window of her farmhouse. Almost like, you know, the guy from my, I mean, God revealed himself to her. Because he loves us, he does these things. If you're here today, you're here for a reason. You're hearing this message for a reason. I love that when I listen to Billy Graham. I just get so jacked up. Billy Graham just, like, here's Jesus, here's what he did, here's who he is, and here's how you can know him. Time and time again, and thousands of people came to Christ through his crusades. And he never minced any words. He never tried to say, oh, hey, this is great for you, blah, blah, blah. He said, no, this is who he was. And so the message is rescued. So everybody loves a good rescue story. I mean, it happened almost every day. Daily, people are rescued from car crashes and fires and health issues. And these first responders are out rescuing people. And so, you know, in this room right here, there's 68 versions of a rescue story. And this is the one story that I love. It's so good for me because I haven't studied theology. I didn't go to seminary. And so many times I'm in different conversations with people that want to get into the arguments about different things. And I always go back to this. This is such a great story in John where Jesus heals the blind man, right? And if you remember this one, he spits in the ground. And I'll just read the scripture. I'll jump around a little bit, but this is like a great rescue story. And he was passing by. He saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples questioned him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither this man or his parents sinned, Jesus answered. This came about so that God's works might be displayed in him. So fast forward, Jesus, after he said these things, he spit on the ground, made some mud from his saliva, spread the mud on his eyes, and said, go. He told him, wash in the pool. So he left and washed and came back seeing. Right? So what do all the religious dudes want? They want answers. Right? So he goes, fast forward to 9:16. Some of the Pharisees, this man is not from God. For how does he keep the Sabbath? They're talking about Jesus. But the others were saying, how can a sinful man perform such signs? And there was a division among them. Again, they asked the blind man, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? Fast forward down to 25. He answered, whether or not he's a sinner, I don't know. Because he's answering all these questions. He's getting grilled. It's like the hearings that we see in Washington. He's getting grilled, right? This blind guy who's not blind anymore. He answered, whether or not he's a sinner, I don't know. The one thing I do know is I was blind and now I see. And I just think every day, right? Every day we should go back to that moment when we first encountered Jesus. I came in today, I've got this little sciatic nerve thing, and I was chatting with Harlow, and I said, you know, ironically, my favorite place to be right now is face down, lifting my torso up, because it gives me relief to my back. But that's really where God wants me to be. That's where he wants all of us to be, is face down on the ground, praying to him and praising him and thanking him for revealing himself to us as truth, that we know we get to live in the light of God. What an amazing rescue story. There's so many. If you guys have Googled this one, it's the four guys from Minneapolis that were hiking last summer, and the one guy that shot up ahead of them got attacked by two grizzly bears. And these guys were in a small group together at a church, and they were on a hike. And all the things that happened in that event and they got rescued. I mean, they were miles in, and it's just an amazing rescue story. So I just love, I think that's why we were drawn to the home improvement shows, too. I mean, my wife Darcy could watch HGTV for hours. I'm like, really? Another remodel? But it's part of it is that we see something broken, and then we get to see it fixed, and it's in our heart of hearts. That's what we want to see, and that's what God does to us, because we are broken and heading into, if it hasn't happened to you yet, if you've been living a life without Christ and everything is ducks and bunnies in your world, just, it's going to happen, right? The end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, you know, he spent, they say, 25 minutes preaching everything to people, and he said, if you hear my words and you put them into practice, you're going to have your life is going to be on the rock. I'm paraphrasing. But if you hear my words and you don't put them into practice, your house is going to be built on the sand, and it's going to wash away. So it's just a matter of time. The storms of life come on the righteous and the unrighteous. The snow came last weekend on those who love Jesus and who didn't love Jesus, right? And it was a mess either way, no matter what, right? So these rescue stories are just so, but here's the greatest rescue story of all time, even better than the one where Jesus heals the blind man. Romans 5:6 says, you see, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. John 3:16 says, so for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believed in him would have eternal life. So why, when we know this to be true as believers, we know that he went to the cross, and we're going to celebrate Easter. And if you've never seen Mel Gibson's movie or the Passion, I mean, what he did on that cross for us was no small event. God, in the flesh, could have done anything he wanted, but he displayed his love for us by going to the cross and shedding his blood for us. That is the greatest rescue story of all time. So why do we, and this is me too, why do we live like it never happened? Well, our flesh still exists. Even after we get exposed to God, right? The youth group, you're going to go on one of these awesome trips with all these other kids, and everybody's waving their arms and they're on fire for Jesus, and then you go back to school on Monday morning, and the guy next to you is just a jerk, right? And you're like, I was so fired up this weekend. But that's our Christian life. Every day is a gift, but every day our flesh is going to battle our spirit. We still have flesh. I am still a sinner, but I've been redeemed by God's blood, and I love Jesus. But I would say I sin less. I'm not sinless, but I sin less because of the Holy Spirit says, Bill, no. Right? No. Right? No. No, you're not clicking on that Facebook, hey, look at this, hey, there's a new golf club. No. Right? And that would be the least of my worries on Facebook, right? So why do we live like it never happened? In Joshua 4, after God delivered the Israelites across the Jordan and the Ark of the Covenant, he dried up the river. It was flood stage, right? And he dried it up. They walked on dry ground, got to the other side. So God said to Joshua, have a member of each of the tribe go back and get a stone out of the river and put it on the side of the river as a memorial for where you came from, what God rescued you from. Well, I mean, that's pretty dramatic. How many of us have ever had that happen? Like, right, you're walking out to the mailbox and the snow just parts for you, you know? No, I don't think so, right? So why? How would it that a human being could forget that God, our flesh still exists? Look at the disciples. What happened to the disciples? They were with him. They likely saw Jesus heal the guy with the blind that was blind. What happened when he died on that cross? They all ran to save their own skin. Peter denied him 3 times. All right, kids, think about this, right? Think about this. Even those who saw the miracles denied him. Why? Because their flesh still existed. They were going to save their own skin. What changed? 3 days later, the risen Christ, and this gives me the chills, stood before them And even Thomas, who was the doubter, had to stick his finger in the hole of his side where the Roman spear was and say, "It really is you, Jesus." That's our Christian life. We have no ability to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit of God. So showing up at church, you and I say to people that go to church, great, go to church. But if you're not going to follow him and you're not going to ask the power to come into you, you got no chance. Church is going to be like, when is it over? Like, I'm so grateful that I want to be here. I know that's not my flesh. My flesh is selfish and wicked, and I wouldn't want to praise God and stand up and wave my arms and say the name of Jesus. I'd like to, like, I'm going to go watch something, you know? But the Holy Spirit of God is a real thing. The triune God. So Jesus leaves, and he says to the disciples, I'm going to give you something that's even greater than I. Is me in you. So why is it that we can live this life? It's because of the Holy Spirit. So I believe that we either fail to receive the Holy Spirit, we either don't authentically ask him, and it's not an it, it's a him, it's God. We don't ask him in, or we just don't go to him in prayer and say, Holy Spirit, win over my flesh. So we put the Spirit in our pocket, and then we use it like a little lucky charm. You know, I'm happy St. Patrick's Day. A little lucky charm in my pocket. When I really get in trouble, when I get that diagnosis, I'm going to pull out my lucky charm. But God says, no, I want your whole life. And if you give me your whole life, I'm going to give you this amazing gift of me, the creator of the universe, in you. Holy buckets. It's a big deal. That's a big deal. So when I talk to a lot of kids through FCA, and I love this illustration, right? So if I had a lamp here, like this little lamp, right? If I turn the power off, it doesn't really do much for me, right? If this isn't plugged into the power source, it's not giving me any light. Holy, I'm breaking stuff. We're never inviting Bill back. He's up there wrecking stuff. But also, let's think about your car, right? The cars are, man, that thing is $40,000 of steel, whatever your brand is, right? But if you don't turn the key, you don't ignite the motor, it doesn't do anything for you. It's just a place to sit. You get a little solar today, you get some heat out of it. But we, as Christians, if we don't ignite the Holy Spirit in us, if we don't say, God, I need you today, we're going to be lightless. We're just going to be flesh paying a little homage to the King. So the inspiration for today is to, if in fact you haven't given your life to Christ, which I, again, I'm not a theologian, but I do know what it says, right? Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Oh, you born agains are crazy people, right? I don't know all that stuff, right? I don't know all that stuff. But I know you know this. I was blind, and now I see. So it's either real, or it's the most fabricated, long-lasting lie that's ever foisted upon man. Jesus Christ is who he said he is, or it's the biggest whopper that's ever been told. I'm going to go with, it's the greatest story and truth that's ever been told, because people, I've seen it. I've seen miracles. I've seen it in my own family, my brother Ben, who's been in this church, who's come to Christ and who's changed his life, who has the Holy Spirit. I talked to him for an hour last night. It's just awesome to hear how he, you know, and he looks back and he wishes that he would have heard this when he was 15. You know, my brother Ben could stand up here and tell kids, don't do what I did. Because it was a rough go. But he wins in the end, right? So let's be clear. It's by grace that we've been saved, but also through faith. Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. But the gift needs to be opened. Right? Acts 16:30-31. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke to the word of the Lord, to him and all the others in his house. At that hour of that night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Immediately, he and all his household were baptized. So we can take our scripture and we can pick out the stuff that's comfortable and we can say, oh, I'm going to do this. But, you know, we don't get to line item veto the things that we don't like in the Bible or the things that fit our religious narrative. You must be born again. And I'm not standing on any righteousness. I just know that this is my story. That when I said yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit came on me and I literally wanted to worship him. And I literally wanted to pursue him. And I wanted to do this. And I wanted to do things that are so much more than just transactions. You know, we live in such a transactional world. You know, think about it. You go here and they're like, oh yeah, okay, give me my money back. Here's my 10, give me... What? The Bible, the gospel is transactional. It's transformational, not transactional. And so when we live in God, we see purpose in all things and we can find joy in all things, like waking up in the morning. Right? We can find joy in this pain in my back. Like I've never spent so much time on my face praying to God. So we've received the Spirit of God. How do we walk and bear fruit? Let's realize that the Holy Spirit is truly the only chance that we have to live out the Christian life. Even after giving our life to Jesus, right? Like I said before, the flesh still exists. Romans 8:26-27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. When you receive Christ and you've received the Holy Spirit, he's going to pray for you. Even when you're too tired and lazy and you go to bed, I fall asleep all the time. If I didn't pray in the morning, oh, I remember it was always at the end of the day. I'll give God my last 3 minutes, and then I go. And I'm out like a light, and I wake up in the morning going, I wasn't really giving God much there, was I? I was kind of giving him the crumbs of my day. But the Spirit of God intercedes in us. He actually gives us the desire to worship and to praise him. We can't take credit for it, but we get to live in it. We get to live in it. I get to be a father and a husband and a coach, and I get to glorify him in all of those things because he's in me. And I can't help wanting to pour out what has come in. So I want to give you a couple practical examples of this. And again, I'm just a dude who loves Jesus, but somebody else showed it to me. And this has been a huge blessing for our family. So you go out to eat, and most of the time you have a server, somebody who's going to come. And this isn't grandstanding or showing off or anything like that. It's like, hey, we're going to pray for lunch. Can we pray for you? And I can tell you in the last 10 years, I have been amazingly blessed by people that say, oh my gosh, yes. Will you pray for me? My grandma is dying of cancer, or my husband just left, or just recently, I got 4 different servers. Bailey, who's this exact same age as my daughter Taylor, said, I'm 10 months sober today. Yes, pray for me. And we got to have a conversation about life and about God. And was that a big deal? Was that hard? I can guarantee you, if I wouldn't have prayed in the morning, God use me today, that it would have been way easier to not pray with that waitress, right? That server. But God in me says, oh, Bill, go ahead and do it. And I go, okay. Right? And the fear has left me. And then what do I get in return? What an amazing blessing it is to pray with somebody and to be a light for Jesus in that way. So I told Eric, I said, I wrote about a 10-minute sermon, and knowing me, that it would, you know, it'd easily be able to fill up 35 minutes. But I want to live like I've been rescued yesterday. Like I want it to be fresh. And the only way that I'm going to keep it fresh is I love Philippians 4. Right? So here I'm going to read Philippians 4, and I want you to just think about all of this scripture has. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I hone in on 4, 6, and 7 because he wants everything. If you're only going to God with your big stuff, you're missing the boat because he wants your little stuff too. He wants you to say, yeah, help me with that test. He loves you so much that he wants all of it. And when we give him all of it, what? We get a peace that transcends all understanding. And I can just tell you, I can't wait for tomorrow because I get to do it all again tomorrow. And I'm not, you know, there's nothing special about me other than I answer to the one who is special. So we must pray. We must believe that God hears our prayers. We have a little method at our men's group called WAR. It's easy to remember. Worship, admit, request. He's not a holy ATM machine where we just go for all of our requests. He deserves and wants to be worshipped. And then we have sin. Our sin gets in the way of our relationship with God. He's holy, and he will not be in the same place as your sin. So we have to admit our sin, and we have to ask him to have power over it. And then we can start with our requests. And so I just love that. It doesn't take long. God, give me eyes for my spouse. God, help me to take care of myself. God, put people in my path that I could share your goodness with today. God, give me words to speak that would shine a light on how amazing you are. In Jesus' name. And there's a great quote by Tozer, and then I'm going to close because I'm against the clock. We're gonna next time I come, we're going to say it. We're going to give you 45 minutes to just let her rip. A.W. Tozer, in this book that I'm doing with one of my small groups, which is also a shameless plug for your small group ministry. I'm in 4 right now. And one of my groups, a Saturday morning group with 7 guys, I wouldn't give up that Saturday morning group for anything. One of our main leader passed away last May. He had ALS. But Jack went out with nothing left in his body, but he could type on his computer with his eyes, and he would share the love of Jesus with people, and he did it to the minute that he died. And he would type in his computer with his eyes, the technology, and he would speak at our small group through it. And he was a really funny guy, and so he used a southern voice. And so he would say, let's pray. And we'd say, oh, that's Jack Daniels. That's who we called him when he would use his southern voice, you know, because his name was Jack. But the small group, it's just such a massive blessing. And if you're trying to do it alone, especially you men, if you're trying to do it alone, you can't do it alone. It's imperative. So A.W. Tozer said this in Alive in the Spirit: no man has any right to stand against something evil unless he has something good to put in its place. Think about that. Let that soak in. So when we're always correcting, oh, those people are drinking, or those people are doing this, or those people are doing that, Or we get up on our little rock and we start our little self-righteousness. We forgot that we were rescued by the grace of God. And we start correcting people. We need to fill people with the love of Jesus. That's the thing that we put in place. So if that's our battle cry, and that's what we do on a daily basis, and people know us as someone who is uplifting and positive, if Jesus Christ isn't pouring out of you, and you're telling people to come to this church or come to another church or to go to church or to follow Jesus, and they look at you and they're like, oh, man, that person's miserable, right? Hey, we want to pray for you and give you what you need, but we should be pouring out that love onto others because that's, we have been rescued. I don't know all that stuff, but I was blind. And now I see. So for those of you in this room who have not asked Jesus into your heart, I was inspired by Billy Graham on the way here last night. Why not today? Why not today? That's not how I came to Christ. I didn't go up front with anybody, but we all need rescue. So if your heart is dark and it's lonely and you're saying, gosh, what he's saying, how come he's got something that I don't have? How come that person over there has got something I don't have? I want that. I mean, that's how I started. I actually started with a Billy Graham sermon. I'm like, whatever that dude's got, I want some of that. And so if that's you today, I'm not going to do any of that. You know, everybody's close your eyes. I'm just saying, between you and God, today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Why not pick today as the day that you say, oh, there's the wall, there's the power, there's the voltage. I want some of that. And I will tell you this, God will answer that prayer. He wants to have a relationship with you. He loves you. I think it was said earlier today, does everybody become a millionaire when you come to Christ? Not for the ISIS guy, right? No. Will you be a changed person? Will your life do a 180? Yeah. Will you have the peace of God that transcends all understanding? Yes, you will. Will you have the ability to be a great husband and father and wife and mother and grandmother? Will God help you with every endeavor in your whole life? Yeah, he will. That's that promise. So why not today? Today's the greatest day. It's the one that he's given us. Our hearts are beating in our chest. Last time I checked, I'm still standing. I got relief as I was up here on my back. I'm not going to lie, during worship, I was doing some yoga back there. Yoga is not welcome in the church. I understand it's a Eastern religious practice, but it does stretch the back. Well, I'm going to close this, and I think, Harlow, do you have anything, or are you just, am I landing the plane here? All right, brother. I'm going to pray, and we're going to go eat some spaghetti, which happens to be my favorite food. So, awesome. Praise God. Lord, thank you for today. Lord, thank you that you love us and that you're for us. Thank you that you died on the cross so that we could have life and life forever, eternity with you. Wherever our situation is, Lord, wherever we stand with you, whether we're all in or we're halfway in or we don't know you yet, Lord, I pray that your spirit would ignite us and guide us towards you. And Lord, that we would grow closer to you. We would take a step forward today and discover who you really are. And Lord, I pray that you give each of us a hunger and thirst for your righteousness and your word. And Lord, that we would ask you daily as our eyes open up in the morning, that we would ask you daily into our lives, that you would take the wheel of our life, and that you would guide us continually into your truth and give us your peace. Lord, we love you. It's amazing how good you are to us, and we praise you this morning. We thank you for Calvary Baptist Church. I thank you for my family. I thank you for Kyle, who plowed the driveway for me last night, that I could even get in and get some rest last night. And I thank you for how you have orchestrated such a beautiful rescue story for all of us. And we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.